This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Hello once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building here in beautiful Provo, Utah for our Week 8 edition of the Coordinator's Corner. It's our weekly BYU football sit-down with the Cougars coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back at one of the wildest wins in the history of BYU football, last Friday night's 38-35 heartstopper over the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And to help us do that, we'll today be visiting with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. Let's get right into our first half hour of the show as we welcome in BYU's DC safeties coach and associate head coach, Jay Hill. Coach Hill, good to see you once again.
Yep, great to be with you.
Wow. I want to get into the game, which we will do, but the game night environment at Lavelle Edwards Stadium now seems to get better and better, and sometimes even some surprises. I don't know how much you're able to pay attention to the drone show, for example, but it's hard to miss.
Well, I've seen a lot of pictures of it since. We heard about it before the game, and it was pretty spectacular. We didn't have a great angle at it, but when you could see it, it was pretty special.
It was awesome. Great night. All right, Oklahoma State. They came in on a three-game slide, but that was an offense that came back almost entirely intact from the year before, personnel-wise. That team played for the Big 12 title. You saw them up close. That was a team that was 3-3, but scary.
Well, they were scary. They'd beaten a really good Arkansas team earlier in the year. They'd beat South Dakota State well, and South Dakota State had just won a national championship in the FCS level. They were scary. They got one of the best running backs in the country. They got one of the best receivers in the country. Mm-hmm. The quarterback was back. The whole offensive line was back. We need to play better than we did, but to get a win against that team was huge.
Did you anticipate the starting quarterback change to Rangel, and how did you hope to play him coming in?
Well, we had heard that he was going to be the starter. I kind of figured if anything went wrong, they were going to go right back to Bowman, and they did, obviously, with the injury. But they got a very veteran quarterback that stepped back in there, and he'd played high-level football in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And so it really didn't matter to us who the quarterback was. We were going to have to be ready for their best shot.
Okay, yeah, the running back you mentioned, Ollie Gordon, had not had the kind of season that he put together last season to this point, but he's still Ollie Gordon. And as we get into the game, we saw Ollie Gordon get loose on Oklahoma State's very first possession of the game. He looked good.
Well, he looked good. The guy ran for 1,700 yards last year, led the nation in rushing, was probably the top running back NFL prospect coming back into this season. And unfortunately, we let him get out the gate early and get his momentum rolling because we should have bottled him up better than we did. The first big run he gets is a misalignment right here, and he spits through there, and we miss the tackle, and obviously you get to see how big and fast he is. But yeah, you got to give them credit. They came out with a really good game plan. They got him rolling again, which they needed to do to save their season.
While Rangel was healthy in this game, he was a handful in the run game himself. Your one sack of the night came early from Jack Kelly. He tracked down Rangel for an early three and out in this one.
Well, that was a huge play. You know, to sack that quarterback is difficult. They'd only given up three sacks all season, so that was their fourth. They're really hard to get to. And right here, obviously, you see us get him spilled down. Jack does a great job running him down, but they're hard to get sacks on.
For a guy his size, Jack's ability to pursue and chase down is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's very explosive. He's very fast. He's got a great knack at rushing the passer. So, obviously, that was a huge play in this game.
All right, 7-7 ball game after one quarter of play. The second play of the second quarter, and Tanner Wall picks off his second pass in as many weeks.
Yeah, two games, two picks. This was such a huge deal. We returned all the way to the one-yard line. I thought that there for a second he was going to get in, but anyway, this ends up being a huge play in the game.
A bit of an overthrow?
Yeah, just a little bit of an overthrow, and that's kind of what we wanted to do. We wanted to take away his underneath windows and just make him put a little more loft on the ball, which he did right there, and it ended up being another interception for us.
And a short field. It's kind of been the routine for BYU this year. The defense gets the ball back, and the offense cashes in, and L.J. Martin, a one-yard touchdown right after the INT. This has been a theme for this year's team, hasn't it?
Well, the offense has done a phenomenal job with their short fields of going down and scoring touchdowns. I think they've done that all year. You got to give them a ton of credit. They found a way to get in the end zone with those fields.
And L.J. Martin, great to have him back and looking like the L.J. of old for sure. OSU scored touchdowns on his next two possessions, taking a 21-14 lead. And on the second TD drive, Garrett Rangel was injured after a long run, and then his night was done. Did you know that he had gotten hurt on the play, and how soon was it till you sensed that he wouldn't be back?
Yeah, it was pretty quickly that we got word up in the box that he was out. And again, I don't know that that really affected the team too much because they went right back to their starter who had started all the other games and won the Big 12 or played for the Big 12 championship last year with Bowman. So I just don't know that there was much change for what we expected from them. This is another missed assignment that we need to play much better. Anyway, bottom line, that was a dynamic that we needed to play better going into this game. And we knew that they were going to run 13 more than they did.
Yeah, that was my thought, was when you thought they'd make the change, did you expect more of that from
them? We did. Absolutely, we expected that more.
Okay. So Alan Bowman was back in at quarterback, and this is a guy you were very familiar with from last year, and he's had a long career.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback, right? He's thrown for a lot of yards this year already. He's been very efficient at times this year. I was really questioning whether they would make the change when we heard that they were going to, just because he had had so much success in his career. Mm-hmm. Putting him back in was just like throwing in your starter. So.
And he finished off that touchdown drive to make it 21-14 at the break. What were you hoping to fine-tune at halftime going down 7?
Well, we just, the last two games, we just haven't played as clean as we were in other games this year. The run defense was shaky at times, as you saw on those two big runs. We did some good things in the pass game early in the first half, but the reality was they were in so many third and shorts that we weren't really able to take advantage of our pass defense like we have in other games. We need to do a better job of just shoring up the run defense.
Even though BYU's been really good on short weeks, it was still a short week for you guys, and they were coming off a bye. Do you factor any of that into how the game went on Saturday?
A lot of it. You know, when you're on a short week and they've had an extra week to prepare for you, and Mike Gundy was 8-1 in his previous 9 games coming off bye weeks. I mean, that guy and that staff, those guys have been together for a long time. They know how to prepare on bye weeks. They did a great job again this week. And we outlasted them on something. It was a hungry team. They were well prepared. I thought their schemes were good for what we were doing. You got to give Oklahoma State a ton of credit. They were very prepared to come in here and play well.
All right, they played well enough to lead by 7 at the break, and it's time for our first break. And as we head to this short intermission, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night, brand new episode of After Further Review. They'll break down the film from BYU's win against Oklahoma State, look ahead to UCF this week. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we return, more with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
And we are back on the Coordinator's Corner. BYU now 7-0 on the season, 4-0 in the Big 12 after Friday night's 38-35 home win over Oklahoma State. Cougs now 11th in the AP poll. BYU next plays on Saturday at UCF. It'll be a matinee, 3:30 Eastern, 1:30 Mountain. The Knights losing at Iowa State. Same score, by the way, 38-35 on Saturday night. Continuing our conversation now with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill. We ended our last segment with BYU trailing Oklahoma State 21-14 at halftime. In a game BYU won by 3, the fact the Cowboys miss a field goal at the end of a long, kind of time-consuming drive to open the second half, that turned out to loom pretty large in the end. Great to get out of a possession like that with no points allowed.
Well, that's one thing that our defense has done a great job of throughout the year, is getting out of critical drives or having missed field goals or getting timely turnovers. That's kind of been some of our strength, and it showed up there.
And again, in a game you win by 3, they don't score 3, and it's pretty big. Big third quarter, though, for BYU. You outscored the Pokes 14-0 in that third quarter, and the scores came in quick succession, sandwiching a Tommy Prassas interception. His first pick of the season and his career was a good one.
Oh, it was a huge one, and he's made huge plays for us, like he did in the K-State game on the scoop and score. This interception was very timely. He's played well. And, you know, Faletau Satawala also played well. Those young freshmen are going to make a lot of plays for BYU through the next coming years.
Makes a nice catch and does a great job making sure it never hits the ground, too, here.
Yep, great job. And phenomenal turnover, another short field for the offense, and they go right down and score. And, I mean, just a huge deal for him and the defense.
You mentioned Faletau. You got two true freshmen here getting meaningful reps. What do you see for these two guys moving forward as Cougars?
Well, I just think their futures are so bright. We're trying to get them caught up to speed to play in these Big 12 games where they're so young in the defense, but they've done a great job of learning it, and they're doing a good job when they get their reps.
Second takeaway for Tommy on the year, you mentioned the scoop and score. He becomes, by the way, on that in the Oklahoma State game, the 10th different player with an interception this year. That's 12 picks from 10 guys.
That's pretty special that those guys are distributing them the way they are. Now we need some multiple guys. We need guys to get multiple picks. I've been happy with the pass defense throughout the year. The two interceptions in this game was huge because they hadn't thrown a lot of them going into it. Anyway, bottom line, we continue to make big plays on defense. That's been a huge, positive for us this year.
Yeah, your multiple guys right now are Tanner Wall with two, Jacob Robinson with two, then a bunch of guys with one each to spread it around. And they've come from all three levels, right? You've had D-line picks, you've had linebacker picks, you've had secondary picks.
Well, and again, I think that's part, doing a good job of confusing quarterbacks and what they're throwing into. That's a good job of pass rush, getting after quarterbacks and throwing into looks they don't want to. And the backers doing a good job with their drops. So I think all three groups are very important to, those interceptions we've been getting.
With the touchdown that came after the Tommy INT, BYU's now scored 69 points off of 16 takeaways. Opponents have only 10 points off of 10 takeaways. A plus 59 in points off of turnovers, that's a significant differential.
Well, that's a huge reason why we're 7-0 right now, is we've been getting turnovers. The offense has been taking advantage of them. And then when we've had the flip side of those turnovers, the defense has done a good job getting out of those drives.
POTO, points off of turnovers, it can be a decisive thing. Again, it's one thing to take the ball away, but to have the offense do what they've been doing has been, again, a great theme for this team this year.
Oh, huge, huge. They've done a phenomenal job.
By the way, both picks on Friday night came from your safeties, Wall and Prassis. A little bit more about your safety room, because you really do play pretty much everybody.
Well, we play a lot of guys. I told you last year we started six different guys that all came back this year. You add two freshmen to the group, and it's a deep group. I would like to see some separation occur in that strong safety position, just where we need one of those guys to start playing at an all-conference caliber level. There's been hot and cold throughout that group, and we need someone to step up and really take that over.
But you do like the depth,
The depth is great, and those guys have played really well in spurts and done some great things. That group needed to play better on Saturday, the strong safety group.
Okay. After OSU scored a touchdown to open the fourth quarter, we had ourselves a 28-28 ball game. A wheel fair and field goal, 31-28 BYU. But then OSU took the ball. They went 17 plays, 76 yards, 8:22 off the clock. They got three third downs. They got a couple of fourths. They score the touchdown, take the late lead. But near the end of the drive, you're taking a timeout as a team to save yourself enough time for what you hope is going to be a game-winning drive if you needed it, and it turns out you did. There was a bit of a dance there as to what to do with the clock there late, wasn't there?
Well, I thought Kalani did a great job managing the clock and just trying to get us an opportunity to go down and score if they did. I thought he did a great job taking that timeout. I'm disappointed in that last drive. We had three or four real critical, easy opportunities to get out of that drive. Didn't execute coverage on a couple of the ones that we had opportunities to. Here's one of them where we had checked the play on that one, and one of the corner on the far side didn't hear it or see the check. So
they did do a nice job, again, keeping their drive alive. And again, 8:22, I think it's your longest drive of the year against you this year.
We've done a good job where offenses have taken those long drives. For the most part, we found a way out of those throughout the year. Here's another one where if we just execute the way we had in that particular coverage earlier in the game, we get out of it. But again, give Oklahoma State a ton of credit. They got good players, they got good scheme, and they came in and made some plays on Saturday.
Sometimes, Coach, the game becomes real simple. Make a fourth down to stay alive, which BYU did on offense in that final drive, and score a touchdown to win the game. It's the only thing that would work, and it did. The offense did both of those things in the final minute. All you could do is sit there and watch as they had to go 75 yards to win the game.
Well, that's a sign of good offense, right? They make plays when they need to. They score touchdowns when they needed to. I'm super excited about just the way they finished the game. And I know Coach Rodericks feels the same way, but they made plays when they needed to. And that's a sign of a good team.
Yeah, BYU had to, again, make the fourth down. Did just enough to keep the chains moving. Jake Retzloff ends up with a big run. And then, of course, you know, this is the play that Cougar fans are going to remember for a long, long time. We've seen the booth cam reaction, what happens when that play is made. That's a fun room up there.
Well, unfortunately, you see a little bit of relief on my face because I was taking that last drive so hard. You can see it right here. But when we see this completion and I could see open field, you can see, unfortunately, there's a lot of relief on my face. The defense had done such a good job throughout the year getting out of those critical drives. And then on the flip side here, now the offense goes right down, scores the huge touchdown. Coach Rodrick and the offensive staff and the players, they just deserve so much credit for what they pulled off in that game and how they played. And they've done a great job all year. Just opportunistic, critical scores when they needed to get it done. They've done a phenomenal job with that.
I love the having your back aspect of this team, because if the offense makes an occasional mistake, it seems like the defense is there to kind of mitigate the damage. It's gone back and forth all year that way.
It has. That's a sign of a good team, and we've mentioned that there's games, and I believe this strongly, that you're going to have to win 35-38 like we just did, and then there's going to be games like K-State or SMU where we had to hold them without a touchdown. And that's the sign of a good team, is that you do what you need to do to win, and that's why we're ranked where we're ranked and having the success we're having, because we play, for the most part, pretty complimentary football.
So after the Lassiter touchdown, you do have a couple of last snaps to defend still. There was 11 seconds left on the clock. What is the coaching before Oklahoma State takes the field with those last two snaps?
Well, we really had two different ways to play it. You can go into basically a Hail Mary prevent type defense, or just rush three in a different way that we do it. And I thought both times we had a lot of DBs in tight coverage. And then we forced the late check down here where they got to go into the lateral game. And I thought we did a pretty good job of pursuing the football and making plays and understanding what was going to occur here. So anyway, bottom line, great job finishing the game. The stadium was electric. You can see the excitement. There was a lot of relief on my part. And again, I can't give the offense enough credit just for the way they finished that game and the plays that they made. That was huge.
By the way, the last desperation play, the lateral play, does that ever get practiced in a setting to where, okay, it's going to be, I mean, or is it just pretty obviously football at that point?
I think it's pretty obvious football. We don't spend a lot of time on that. You might do it a couple times a year, but for the most part, someone's got to make a play. Don't leave your coverage too far and just be ready to, you know, tackle the guy when it's your guy catching the ball.
I think about these last few games at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and I mean, K-State was so phenomenal in its own way, and how do you top that? And then you have the way that last game ended on Saturday. These are memory-making nights here for this team.
Well, they are, and you throw Arizona in there too, where going into that game, the quarterback had played so good, and we made the huge plays in the Arizona game on both sides of the ball, and then the atmosphere at night in Lavelle Edwards Stadium is phenomenal. The Rock, the fans, everybody just adds to that. Now the drone show makes it even better. It's such a phenomenal atmosphere. I believe the people are getting their bang for their buck for sure.
And you also believe that that the crowd BYU puts in the stands has a competitive or tactical impact on the game at times.
Oh, it for sure does. We are a home field advantage, and playing in front of all those fans and as crazy as they get and just how passionate they are for the game, they're a huge part to the way we play in that stadium.
Let's get some post-game honorees from Saturday, from Friday night now. Let's start with the defensive player of the week, and we showed him already, but Tommy Prassis, the true freshman, gets the nod.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, in a game where not a lot of people played good, he made some huge plays. I thought he tackled much better, and he's deserving of this because his interception was a huge part of this game.
When did you first get wind of Tommy Prassas and his connection and journey to BYU?
Well, we knew about him going into his senior year. We knew a lot about him. He came to summer camp that summer, and I just loved him.
And you had just gotten here, I guess.
I did.
Yeah.
But he came to camp. I knew a lot about him. I went and saw him in spring recruiting, and then when he came and I got to work him out in person at camp, he was just a no-brainer to me.
And then Special Teams Player of the Week, Coach Kelly Popinga, identifying Ethan Slade this week on Special Teams.
Well, and that's a huge one because that's another guy coming out of the safety room, fired up for Ethan. He's as tough as they come. He's a football player. He understands the game. And so I can't be happier for him. This is a big deal.
All right, there we go. Those are our postgame honorees on defense and special teams. This upcoming Saturday, you can tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, starting at 1:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Mountain, as the Cougs get ready to visit Orlando and take on the Knights of UCF. As we go to break now, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's, quality, and a lot of it, in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and now Harriman. Coming up next, a look ahead to Saturday's game with Coach Jay Hill. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, the Burger Boys. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. After BYU's 38-35 home win over Oklahoma State this past Friday, BYU goes to 7-0, 4-0 Big 12. BYU and Iowa State tied atop the Big 12 at 4-0, both teams 7-0 as well, and the Cougs now ranked 11th in the AP. All right, next up for BYU, the UCF Knights. Let's look ahead to Saturday's matchup. It is sponsored by Intermountain Health, this preview, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. You see, UCF opened the season 3-0 like Oklahoma State did. The Cowboys lost 3 in a row. The Knights have now lost 4 in a row. But we saw Saturday night just how good a team they are, because they could have and maybe should have beaten Iowa State on the road.
Well, this is a very good team now. Offensively speaking, not many people are running for 280 yards a game. They're going for 460 a game. The defense has a really good defensive line. It's a good football team. They've had their ups and downs with some turnovers and really untimely things like that. Really probably should have beat Iowa State on the road, a really good Iowa State team. So we got our work cut out for us. We're going to have a great week of preparation.
Really run heavy, 280 yards a game, third nationally in rush yards per game, and R.J. Harvey is the main guy, top 10 running back.
Yeah, he's a big-time running back. The quarterback did a great job of rushing it last week, and they have one of the best wide receivers in the Big 12, number two. They've got weapons for sure. We're going to have to do a great job of tackling, and obviously as coaches we need to come up with a great scheme to stop this running attack.
Seven is Harvey. The quarterback is new. Probably we thought when the season began you'd be seeing KJ Jefferson, who you saw at Arkansas, but he's been replaced by Ja'Kuri Brown. He ran for a buck 54 on Saturday.
Well, and he's big and he's physical. He reminds me of the type quarterbacks that Gus Malzahn has won with in the past, and I think this kid's a really good weapon for him. He's running it good. He's got a strong arm and he's got some weapons on the outside to throw to. So we've got our work cut out for us for sure.
And like with Oklahoma State, don't be fooled by the little slide they're on. They have lost 4 in a row, but dangerous team.
Oh, dangerous team. You look at them, they've beaten some good teams this year. They've lost some close games in the Big 12 to really good teams. We're going to have to go in there and play our best football. I really believe that.
And you like your early day routine. It'll be 3:30 mid-afternoon there, but an earlier game in your body clock. But you've had success this season. Just another road trip, another game.
Yeah, we don't buy into that. It doesn't really matter. The kickoff time, you got to be ready to go, whether it's at night or during the day. We got to do a great job of preparing the players, and the players got to do a good job of showing up.
Okay, you're now in the back half of the season, Coach Hill. You're one game into your back half and haven't lost a game yet. As the record gets better and better, the pressure, you could say, increases. Yet the theme from this year's team seems to be it's a one-game statement. They're not looking too far afield. And would you say that's worked so far for this team? I think the record speaks for itself.
Well, I challenged the defense a couple weeks ago that when we were coming off the bye week, we had three games in between the two byes. We needed to make it a three-game season. And I think they've done a good job of one game at a time. And now we got one game left in this three-game season. We got to finish it off and go into the bye week 8-0. That's all that matters.
How eager are you to get back with your guys on defense with the meeting and then the first look today and just kind of getting after it?
Well, we got stuff to clean up. And we've played really good in spurts this year. We've got a lot of room for improvement, obviously, as we showed last week. And that's one of the most exciting things to me, is that we've played really good at times. But we got we got room to improve, and we need to get that done. As a coach, that's an exciting thing.
All right. Well, good luck this week in prep, and we will see you in Orlando. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's Coach Jay Hill. Tomorrow night, you can join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake. As the coach and a special guest, recap the Oklahoma State win with us and help us preview Saturday's showdown in Orlando. That's Tuesday nights, 8:30 Eastern on BYU TV's app and ESPN+. Coming up next, BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick as the coordinator's corner continues. Brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, The Burger Boys. We're looking back at last Friday night's home win over Oklahoma State. First ever win for BYU over OSU. And it came in the Pokes' first ever visit to Provo. With the win, the Cougs now 7-0, tied atop the Big 12 at 4-0, and ranked 11th in the AP poll. Our second half hour of the show begins now as we welcome in BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Coach, good to see you once again.
Good to see you.
Well, with the win on Friday, BYU under Kalani is now 10-2 in the short week Friday night games. What do you think BYU does so well in making that Saturday-Friday turnaround work out so well?
I think we have a good plan for how we practice. We usually back off the physicality, and we do a little bit of extra meeting time and a little extra walkthroughs. And then I think the short amount of time forces you to keep it simple. And you know, the other night, most of the success we had in that game was doing things that we do all the time, and that's been part of it.
Not only was BYU on a short week, but OSU was coming off a bye week. Yeah. You knew they'd be ready to roll, even having lost three in a row coming in.
Yeah, and they used the bye week well. I thought, you know, offensively they played their best game of the year, and then defensively they did a lot of things that we weren't prepared for. So there was some adjustment that had to take place during the game.
You're not winning a ton of coin tosses. OSU wins and defers, so you're on offense again to start the game.
Yeah.
And you score a touchdown on your first possession. A perfect opening drive, really. Three rushes, three passes, one third down. You convert it with the TD run. And the first play of the game was a deep shot to Darius.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I agree with the philosophy of if you win the coin toss, you should defer.
Uh-huh.
But I don't mind when we don't win the coin toss, because we like to have the ball first for this reason. If we score on our first possession, we feel like we're pretty tough to beat. And we wanted to be aggressive early and had a really nice opening drive to go get a touchdown.
And it was a nice mix of stuff too, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a pretty good script there. Everybody, all the coaches on the staff were involved in that opening script, and I thought we executed well.
Okay, I get to trot out my favorite stat again. Under Kalani, BYU's now won 33 consecutive games and is now 35-2 when you score a TD on the opening drive. Yeah. It's only one small segment of the game, but it has been a good sign for you guys.
I think it just gives everyone so much confidence. And so we try to be aggressive every game on the first possession, but you know, it's something else when you can hit that deep ball on the first play, just the energy that is in the stadium. You know, I thought it just feels like there's no way you're not going to score when you hit a big play like that on the first play.
It was a 7-7 football game. Last drive of the first quarter gets you into scoring territory. You come out of a timeout with a play you like, but you didn't like the outcome necessarily on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and that's on me. We, you know, that play, the defense that they had shown in the red zone to that formation and personnel group, it was 100%. The play was there. Unfortunately, they came out in a different defense than what we were planning for. We should have had an ability to check out the play. I put Folau in a bad position there, and that one's on me. We would have liked to have him just to run the ball there when it's not open, but we should have had a chance to check out of that.
But right after that, Tanner Wall gets the ball back for the offense.
Yeah, he does.
And gets you a short field.
Yeah, so it felt kind of like justice. You know, we made a mistake, but it was, you know, we'd had a good drive up to that point, and so that was awesome. Great play by Tanner, and then we were able to punch it in.
It's nice when you only have to go a 1 yard for the touchdown.
It is, and you know, especially after being disappointed, we'd had a good drive and then had that unfortunate turnover. But it's great to get LJ going and get him. You know, the last couple games now, we're starting to see what LJ can do for our team.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when you didn't have him, I mean, you simply go to your depth and you make the best of it, and you say we got the guys, and you do. But he's a special player.
He is, and exactly. We've had other guys step up, and we're proud of all those guys and appreciate everything. But LJ is a very special player, and he's a physical runner. He's really smart. He's a good receiver. He's a good blocker. He's just a really good football player.
I want to get your thoughts on your next drive in a 14-14 game. You're back in scoring territory, and you were starting to run it a bit right now. I think you had six straight runs,
yeah.
And then it was a pass play that ends up going the other way. What did Jake see, or what did he maybe didn't expect on that play that was a pick at the sideline?
That was the one big mistake Jake made in the game. It was, not a good decision. And we had a couple of route running errors as well. Ray Apollo is not supposed to turn up the field there, and had another route error there. It was the whole play. We did not execute that play well, but Jake needs to just eat the ball there. It's first and 10. We're at the top of the
You're going to get
zone.
Points.
We're in a great position to get points, and we need to take better care of the football. And I thought Jake played an outstanding game, but that was the one mistake that we'd all like to have back.
So trailing 21-14, you get the ball one final time in the second quarter. What was your intent when the possession began, and did LJ's big run maybe switch your gear a little bit?
Yeah, the big run, so our intent was, hey, let's run it, and if we pop something and make some yards, then we'll shift into gear into 2 minute. And that's exactly what happened. So we shifted into gear and then didn't make it quite as far as we should have. And we had a couple other options there rather than the Hail Mary that would have been safer. A Hail Mary from, I think we were at the minus 44 yard line. So you've got to throw the ball about 60 mm-hmm. yards to get it to the end zone. And it takes too long for the receivers to run all the way to the end zone. You can't protect that long. So in retrospect, we should have just run the ball or thrown a screen pass or something.
It wasn't a consequential interception.
It wasn't. But if they score a touchdown on that, it is. That's why I think in retrospect, I would like to have that one back. And it's not Jake's fault. We should just protect the football there going to halftime and come out and play a better second half.
Looking back at the play, I was a little worried because it looks like he gets hit while throwing. And then he looks to hurt himself while trying to make the tackle on the guy. He came back in the second half, but were you worried?
No, he told me he was okay. But, yeah, that's again, he talked me into wanting to do that. He said, Coach, I can get it there. I can throw it 60 yards. And so, we didn't want to surrender. But in retrospect, we probably should have just played. The smarter move might have been just to run the football, go into halftime and regroup. And thankfully, he made the tackle, though. That could have been a touchdown the other way.
He did. All right, time for a break, but first this reminder, you can get ready for BYU and UCF this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage beginning two hours prior to kickoff at 1:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time on BYU TV. When we come back, we'll close the book on the Cougars' wild win over the Cowboys. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more right after this. Second and 10, poke 35, 19 seconds on the clock, 35-31, Jake in the pocket, throws in a window, 15-10, 5, Lassiter getting it in, touchdown! All right, that's how it looked, that's how it sounded on Friday. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner. We're sitting down with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. After the Cougs' 38-35 home win over Oklahoma State this past Friday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, BYU now 7-0 for a fifth time all time. As we went to break, BYU was trailing OSU 21-14 at halftime, but it was a big 14-0 third quarter for BYU to help turn this back. And the drive to tie the game at 21 was all ground and pound, seven plays, all rushes. And after a first half with three picks, were you maybe determined, let's just kind of play this thing closer to the vest and see what we get out of the ground game here to start, or how were you feeling?
Yeah, at halftime, Coach Gilbride, he mentioned at halftime, they haven't stopped our run game yet. And it just felt like a good time to sort of calm everybody down and go impose our will, a little bit. And I think our offensive linemen were gaining a lot of confidence that we could run the ball. And so came out and wanted to get LJ going. And then once we got going, I just kept calling runs and it felt good. It felt like the old days when we were rolling with Tyler. And I think, in fact, there were a lot of moments in this game where it felt like our offense was really working the way it's supposed to.
And I know you want to mix it up, and the receivers are a big part of your attack, but is there no better feeling when you're simply getting chunks and getting moving sticks by just, basically simple football?
Yes, and our receivers, no one was happier than them when we scored on this drive. You see Darius's reaction when we score here, and those guys like being physical too, and they understand that our play-action pass opens up when we can run the football like this. You see Darius finishing that block into the end zone. those guys are into it. They love it too. And then the next series, the reason why Keelan's so wide open on that next touchdown pass is because we had set up the run and the play action game just starts to hit.
And the two touchdowns, we're going to get to the second here. It's a sudden change sequence again. We've had so many of these this year. Tommy Prassis' interception gives you another short field. After 10 consecutive runs, it was 10 straight runs, you did dial up a pass for Keelan.
Yeah, it was a play action that we had a pretty good idea would be there. But it's especially open now because of those run plays that are gaining yards. And we're forcing those safeties to come down and defend the run. And now you find Keelan, who ran a great route. That was a clinic tape route. Mm. And the protection was outstanding. And just it was nice to see Keelan have such a good game, too. He had a really nice night.
It was his first receiving touchdown of the year. Of course, he had that big kickoff return touchdown, but second time in the end zone for him this year.
Yeah, he's a good football player, and we need to keep getting him more involved.
Tied at 28. You strung together 11 plays, but had to settle for a Will Farron field goal, take a 31-28 lead. This is a weird game because I felt like, oh, no one's kicking field goals here, but you had to take points there.
Yeah, and we trust Will so much. He's so solid. And I think that was the right decision there to just take the field goal, and credit to Will. He went out there and knocked it through.
There was a 3rd and 8 that preceded the field goal. I think he went for Darius. Here it is. Yeah, back corner of the end zone.
Yeah.
And then he came up slow. He told us after the game it might have been something akin to a stinger, I guess. He said his shoulder didn't feel right or his arm. But then you get the points out of the Farron field goal, and you are in front 31-28.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get the touchdown there. They went all out blitz cover zero, so we took a shot at the end zone, and Jake just overthrew Darius a little bit. But great job by Will.
How soon did you find out that Darius was okay to come back in?
Right away. He was just shaking up for a second. It's just part of the game, I think. We're at that point in the year where nobody feels great. You know, that's just how it is. Every week, there's nobody on the team that's playing regular snaps is going to feel 100% every week. You got to plow through it.
So you're leading 31-28. Oklahoma State's driving. We're getting late. And the questions were you going to get the ball back? How much time would you have? And what would you need?
Yeah, that long drive, we were talking about three scenarios, okay? If we hold them, get the ball back, then we're going full 4-minute offense, bleed the clock, and try to bleed this game out and end it. If they get a field goal, then we're tied, so we want to go 2-minute offense, but we want to be smart because we don't want to surrender our chance to go to overtime. Mm-hmm. And if they score a touchdown, obviously, then we've got to go full speed, go get a touchdown to win it. And so we were discussing all three of those scenarios and making notes for each. And we had a good amount of time to plan it. That drive took a minute, but we were ready for it, though.
And then there's also the question of, okay, with our timeouts, what and when, and, you know, are we trying to end the game? Or are we trying to have time left?
That's the other part of it is we had to use our timeouts on defense to preserve time, and which was wise. The timeout we took right before they scored the touchdown was huge. Mm-hmm. And then they scored on the next play, but we preserved ourselves another 40 seconds. You know, otherwise we're getting that ball back with like 30 seconds left or less. And so we got it back with 1:13, which was enough.
Which was enough. Yep. And so it's pretty simple now. You only need a touchdown. But let's go through kind of the drive. And it starts with 1:13 on the fourth quarter clock. You know you need a touchdown to win. We're going to show the plays or the key plays here in the sequence. You can kind of take us through what you wanted to get each step of the way on this one because you had a long ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, we practice 2-minute offense every week. Jake's been very good at it since he's been here in practice and in games. And this was a big completion here to Keelan. It's basically the same play that he scored the touchdown on. And then this was smart to take a check down, and great job by Darius to get out of bounds. And then, right here, Jake probably could have ran, but I think he made the right decision to throw incomplete. It's okay to stop the clock. And then this was the huge play.
This is the ball game right here.
Fourth and eight. Unbelievable job by Chase to hang on to that ball. And then, unfortunately, we get tackled in bounds here, so we lose a few seconds. Keanu did his best to get out of bounds. And then this was a huge play, too, because everything here would tell you to get out of bounds. And for Jake to have the instinct to see that space there that he can run for this.
He gets 20 more yards.
I mean, yeah, all the rules tell you here, go out of bounds. But that cut got us another 20 yards. And then to slide and get down. And then he handed the ball to the official, which also saves a couple seconds. And then this play is the exact same play we ran on the last play of the game against Coastal Carolina when Dax Milne got tackled on the 1-yard line. It's the exact same play. We practice it all the time.
On the other side of the field, I think it was right side, Coastal Carolina, left side there.
It's a play that we use in this situation.
Who was the play designed for when it was drawn up? Are both guys in the mix there?
They're both in the mix. But we're looking at JoJo first, and then Darius is the last read. Yep.
Okay. And Darius, we're going to get to him in a second because he had an outstanding game. But and I think booth camp kind of caught the reaction of all the coordinators at that moment. You're always so cool up there. when Jake lets go of the ball there, what were your emotions in the moment?
I'm usually pretty calm in those things. I don't get too up or down. I think I stress out more Monday through Wednesday. You know, I really agonize about all the planning that goes into every call. And then when you're in the moment in the game, you put your finger on the box and call what you practiced. And I believe in that. Put the players in position to do things that we practiced, and have a lot of faith in our guys to execute.
Once Darius made the catch, there was a little work to do to get into the end zone, but he could see it. I mean, it was right there.
Just an unbelievable play. I mean, for Jake to get him the ball in the first place, was our pass protection was outstanding in that 2 minute. That's the first thing. Like, no sacks and really not much pressure in that 2 minute drill. And then for Jake to find him and be able to deliver the ball, and then just a great effort by Darius to get the ball in the end zone.
Okay, we're going to show Jake's numbers to you. How would you kind of not grade him, but maybe assess his night on Friday?
I thought he played really well. There was one bad decision that we would love to have back, but I thought he played really well. We want to get that completion percentage up a little bit, but what I do like is that Jake's being smart with the football for the most part. He's understanding that you know, you don't have to get it all every time, but our explosive plays are through the roof. I mean, I think we had 18 explosive plays in the game, one every 3.5 plays, and a lot of that's just due to Jake's arm and his ability to extend plays.
He's still your rushing leader on the season right now.
Yeah, he's a very very underrated runner, and we don't want it to stay that way, especially now that LJ's back. We'd love to keep getting LJ 100 yards, you know, 100 yard games.
It's going to change this week, I think. He'll take the lead, I hope, this week.
I hope so too. And we don't want to run Jake as much as we have. It's been more out of necessity due to our injuries at running back and O-line.
Okay, career highs for Darius Lassiter, 129 receiving yards, and LJ Martin, 120 rush yards on the night.
Yeah, both played really well. It's great to have LJ back, and Darius just keeps doing what he does.
How's he recovering week to week, LJ? Do you treat him differently during the week to make sure he's good on game, or is he just going through stuff?
He's full go. There's no restrictions.
Okay. To your offensive player of the week, we've talked about him and we mentioned his career high a moment ago. Darius Lassiter gets your offensive player of the week nod this week.
Yeah, he got us started on the first play of the game, made a great catch tracking that deep ball in flight, got us off to a great start, and then he put the exclamation point on the end of the game as well. First and last play of the game, and then made a bunch of plays in the middle too, but just thought he really stood out. You know, I mean, he was the best player on the field the other night.
I mean, it's a great wide receiver room, but really, you've got a dynamic duo with Chase Roberts and Darius Lassiter leading the way right now.
Yeah, both of those guys are going to play in the NFL, and it's pretty fun to have two guys like that that are so smart and so tough, and they just do everything well. They're really complete football players. Great leaders, just awesome guys. I love coming to work every day.
This wasn't one of those weeks where Darius had to work a lot of his sideline magic, but the week before we showed a lot of Darius clips when you weren't here. He's got a real knack on the sideline of making a tough play look pretty easy.
He does. There's a lot of things you can teach wide receivers, but just the ability to track the ball in flight, to see it, to be able to anticipate, you know, how to position your body and where the ball is going to come down, especially the deep balls, is it's just something some guys have it and some don't, and he definitely has a knack for that.
All right, break time. And as we step away, we remind you that your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play is on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up on our final segment of this week's show, more with Coach Aaron Roderick just ahead. We'll look ahead to BYU and UCF on the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We're back in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, final show segment. And we're talking with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. He and the Cougs getting ready to go to Orlando to face UCF on Saturday. BYU going in ranked 11th in the AP. Cougars record, of course, 7-0 overall, 4-0 in league. The Knights are now 3-4 overall and 1-3 in conference. A couple personnel notes. First up, Sonny Mancini was available for you, but you gave Austin Leusa another start at right guard. But the fact that Sonny's back and available is helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we'll find out this week how healthy he is. He was able to play in the game if we needed him. And we're hoping he's even better this week, and we're going to sort that out in practice.
In the meantime, we continue to give kudos to Bruce Mitchell at center, who's doing a great job while Connor Pay gets better.
Yeah, doing a nice job, and super proud of Bruce.
Okay, we don't have – in fact, the tackles almost never get mentioned, which I guess is a good thing. But man alive, Caleb Etienne, the guy you call Tree at left tackle, and Braden Keim at right tackle, they've been kind of every snap guys for you this year.
They are playing great. And we've had some really good play at offensive tackle in the last 6 years. And those two guys are playing as well as anybody that's played here. And the fact that our pass protection is outstanding with those two. They're both so long. It's so hard to get around them, and then they're both being physical in the run game, and just love those guys.
Yeah, 6'8 at left edge and 6'9 at the right edge. All right, thoughts on UCF? Man, they had that game at Iowa State kind of under control, gave up a 2-touchdown lead and the game Saturday night in Ames. Did you watch that one live, or is it all just on film after?
I did. I had the rare opportunity to watch the whole game.
It was fun.
Saturday was maybe the greatest day of my life. Sat at home and watched college football like a normal fan. Enjoyed that game very much. Two really good football teams. Obviously, Iowa State's a good team. And UCF was the better team for most of the game. They had a great chance to win and didn't pull it out. But I think they're very talented. They have a lot of speed and size. They're a big defense with a lot of speed. And I think they're a much better team maybe than their record shows right now. They've lost a couple heartbreakers.
You got a 50% day on third down against Oklahoma State, and they're 106th right now in third down defense. What's challenging their defense right now that way?
Well, I think it's a little bit of feast or famine. You know, they've given up some plays in the passing game, but they intercept the ball. They have 9 interceptions this year, and a lot of that's due to their pass rush. They can get after the quarterback. I think they get pressure on the quarterback, and they force some errors and get interceptions. And so, they present some problems for sure, and we have a lot of respect for them.
Mid-afternoon game, Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. Practice travel routine for this week with going all the way to the East Coast?
Yeah, we're going to travel on Thursday. Whenever we go 2 time zones, we leave a day earlier. And so we'll practice here and then travel out there Thursday.
Okay, in the final 30 seconds we have left, Coach, 7-0 and ranked 11th. And you know how it gets this time of year. Certain things come into play when you're 7-0. But this team's mentality in handling all of that, or paying attention or not?
Just win this game. And that's been our mentality all year, is just block out everything else. Don't listen to anything, good or bad. You know, when at the beginning of the year, nobody thought we were any good. Don't listen to that. Now some people are starting to think we're pretty good. Don't listen to that either. Just focus on winning this game. It's a one-week season every week, Super Bowl 8. You know,
all right.
That's what we're thinking of it like.
I love it. Great. Best of luck to you this week, and we'll see you in Orlando.
Good.
All right. Thank you, Coach. That's Coach Aaron Roderick, and that'll do it for Week 8 of the Coordinator's Corner. For Coaches Hill and Roderick and our entire crew, my name is Greg Wrubell. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Go Cougs!